The title of this lesson is Steps to a New Start. So if you're thinking about, I need to make some changes, I think the wisest thing you do, of course, not everybody here is married. The wisest thing you can do is when you choose, I just got to make some changes, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And the reason I say that, I've seen this in my own life and I've watched this in a lot of guys' life. It's just the way we are, especially in the South. We say, I'm going to start making changes. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. The next thing you know, we're telling other people. And then we begin to think, I got to prove that I'm going to do what I've said that I'm going to do. Well, then you'll have people in your life, they're not doing this. They're doing this. And now the next thing you know, these changes that God has led me to make, I'm actually not communicating with Him about it. I'm wondering what they're thinking about me because of all these changes I said I'm going to make. And so now you're in the flesh. You could be controlled by other people. The wise thing to do is let the Holy Spirit bring to your heart and mind any changes you need to make and then begin to do it. Now, they will eventually see the changes that you're making. Well, then you got to be careful because they may begin to brag on you. And then the next thing you know is, well, I believe I can get a third of the world's population to follow me. You become prideful. The best thing to do is say, God, what would you have me to do? What changes do I need to make? Write them down and begin making the changes between you and Him. It doesn't mean that you're leaving people out of your life. Actually, you'll help them more and be a blessing to them. But if you come to 2026, you say, I'm going to do things different. You're telling everybody, putting it out on Facebook. I've seen so much stuff. It's like, oh my word. You're going to be held so accountable by human beings with this list that you're going to do this coming year. And more than likely, it's kind of like reading the Bible through in a year. Everybody stops somewhere in Leviticus, right? They get bogged down in Leviticus. But really, there's a lot of typology in Leviticus. If somebody will point that out, you think, wow, we read about that in the New Testament. But some people see it as, oh boy. So, steps to a new start. I'm going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Then we'll also have time of a Q&A. So the question is, do you ever feel the need to start over again in your spiritual life? I just need to start over. Somehow things are not going well, and you know you are out of fellowship with God. Now remember, when I say out of fellowship with God, I'm not meaning you've lost your salvation, because you have a relationship with God that can never be severed. It's impossible. If you truly are a child of God, your relationship with God, for all eternity, Christ is in you and you're in Him because of what Christ did on the cross. So you have an eternal relationship with God. You can be out of fellowship with God, but it won't be Him doing this to you. You can mark it down. It'll be you doing this to Him. Just like the prodigal son. He went away from the father. When he said, I'm going to go back to my father, he turned and went back and his father was still there receiving him, facing him. So we can be out of fellowship with God, or some people call it being out of communion with God, but we can never lose our relationship. We're eternally secure. So sometimes we just say, I've been following God at a guilty distance, and I just want to start over again being intimate with Him. I want to tell you, this will be my third time to tell you this, like I told the young guy on staff, Gage, I told him, the best thing I could tell you about marriage. And I said, I want to tell you, don't marry the girl if she's not intimate with God. Wait. But if she is, marry her. But are you intimate with God? And he was looking at me, you know, and I said, you get a man or a woman, husband and wife, and both of them are walking intimately with God. And I want to say, I know this does not sound good. I'm talking separately from one another because you're not together 24/7. I mean, you can never be together 24/7. I mean, especially if both of you work. But if you're walking, talking, listening to God moment by moment, day by day as an individual, and she's doing the same thing, vice versa, you're going to need each other less in a positive way. Does that make sense? That's not negative. I'm telling you, that is positive. And I told him that out there, and he went, wow. I think that's the best advice I've ever heard on marriage. I said, it is. You can mark that down for eternity, buddy. Been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. So how do you make a start on being intimate with God, not being out of fellowship with Him, walking, talking, listening to Him. How do you do this? Well, let's read in Philippians 3, 12 through 16, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Positionally, we're perfect in Christ. That's complete because of the cross. On our day-to-day, it's called progressive sanctification. We're becoming more like Christ because we were born in Adam. We walk like Adam, talk like Adam, think like Adam. He's not saying that I'm not in Christ, I'm not positionally in Christ forever. He's not saying that. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." He's talking about his earthly life on earth, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I love this part right here. But one thing I do, praise God, I love that. You ever just feel like you got too much stuff going on? He said, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So forget 2025. Yes, we did learn, but move forward to 2026. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. Ooh, that right there is convicting. You can be a child of God and be immature. I think all through Christian history, I would say the majority have been immature. And it's not so much intelligence, it's more walking intimately with Him. And so, he said, therefore, let us, and then he is like a pause, as many as are mature. And then I love this, and I'm working on this in my book. Have this mind, notice the word mind, and if anything you think otherwise, notice you think with your mind, God will reveal even this to you. How does He do this? Your mind. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. And here we go again. Let us be of the same mind. One of the things when you say, I just need to make changes, I want to be more intimate with God, 2026, I want to grow in the Lord. It happens in the mind and by the Holy Spirit and by His Word. So, when you think about steps to a new start, number one, a new start requires forgetting what lies behind. What did he say again in verse 13? He said, one thing I do, forgetting, remember that's talking about the mind, forgetting those things which are behind. So, God forgives us. Has someone ever said to you, I forgive you, but I'll never forget? Aren't you glad God forgave you and forgot? You think about this. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened was eternal. This is the past. That's the future. He died one time for all sins. And so, when you put your trust where God put your sin on Jesus, who died for you, He died an eternal death. So Jesus died for every sin that you have ever committed. Jesus has died already for every sin that you will ever commit. So, according to Scripture, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did fully and eternally for you on the cross, God placed you in Christ for all eternity. So you know what this means? And I learned this from Charles Solomon. God placed you in Christ who had no beginning and who will have no end. So, God sees you in Christ who has no beginning and who has no end, so He no longer sees your sin. That doesn't mean He doesn't see when you sin in 2025 and 2026, but the truth is He already knows everything you're going to think or do wrong, even in the future, and Jesus died for that one time for all. You say, Chris, does that not give us a license to sin? No, it doesn't give you a license to sin. If you take it that way, you must be born again. It's pure grace. So listen to Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. Listen to this. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. Listen to this. As far as the east is from the west, So far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers. Now, I don't know if He can remember or not, because God knows everything. He remembers that we are dust. So, we need to remember when we think about a new start requires forgetting what lies behind. Remember, God forgives us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, God forgives us because Jesus died for all sin. God sees us from an eternal position of being in Christ. All that because Jesus Christ died on the cross one time for all. So God forgives us. And as we talked about two Sundays ago on this lesson, Eternal Forgiveness, we must forgive other people. Yeah, but you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You have to forgive them. I mean, there's really no choice. To even think about it, well, maybe, but you're already messed up. You've got to forgive. I don't feel like it. That's our problem. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even anyone who has a complaint against another, listen to this, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you think about it. What Jesus did here, we've been baptized into Him, Christ, and He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I can't just forgive them for what they've done. He's in you and you're in Him. There's no reason you cannot and you must. There's no option. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd say, I choose to forgive. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it reminds me again of what I said 2 weeks ago. Amy Carmichael, who was betrayed by some of the workers at the orphanage, she forgave them. Many years later, one of the orphanage workers who was there during that time said, do you remember what they did to you 20 years ago? She said, I distinctly remember forgetting about that. That's classic, man. I loved it. I distinctly remember forgetting about that. So don't be mastered by what you think other people think. Do not keep yourself emotionally hostage behind a wall you built by not forgiving others. Don't do this in 2026. You want to move ahead. Someone has said this. I see this often because I got it in my calendar with alerts for specific things, and I've got this in there. Someone has said, forget the things that are behind. 2025, just forget it. Forget injuries, slight, unkind words. Be too big to be hurt. Be too great to be unkind. Be too busy to quarrel, too wise to engage in unseemly gossip, too strong to permit little annoyances to turn you from life's big road, to clean, to stain your character with any kind of impurity. That is a powerful statement right there. It doesn't mean you're arrogant and you're better than anybody else. Because of this, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. It simply does not matter. I distinctly remember forgetting about that years ago. So, you keep moving ahead. So, when you think about number one, a new start requires forgetting what lies behind. Remember, God forgives us. We must forgive others. And we must forgive ourselves. Someone I'm discipling just this past week just started sobbing. Almost the same sound that you'd hear when someone has a loved one in a casket before the funeral and they're just sobbing because they just feel like this is the end, this is complete. It was like that. And so I stopped, I didn't say anything, and I waited. And finally, he said, and he could hardly say it, his voice was so breaking. He said, I forgave myself the other day. And then he started sobbing and weeping again. And I have only seen that a few times in my life. We must forgive ourselves. You see, forgiveness has to do with debt. When it comes to being in conflict with another person, there's this feeling of, you now owe me. We don't think about it this way, but it's like, you now owe me because of what you've said or done, my reputation or possessions. You owe me in some way, so I will not forgive you until you restore to me what I feel you have taken. Here's the question. When we sin against ourselves, how do we pay ourselves back? We must clearly see all sin is covered under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, including the sins we commit against our own selves. Sometimes people do not realize for many years in their life they're beating themselves up because they feel like they've somehow hurt themselves and they can't get over it. So, Hebrews 10, verses 10 and 12. Listen to this. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So when you think about 2026, never get this out of your mind. What Jesus did on the cross was once for all. Not only your sins you've committed, not only the sins people have committed against you, but even the sins you've committed against yourself by beating yourself up for things in the future. Verse 12 of Hebrews 10 says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one time for sins forever, when he had done all that, he sat down at the right hand of God. On the cross, he said, it is finished. He died. He completed the forgiveness of sin. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind in 2026 and say this, I don't have a license to sin, but the truth is, He has blotted out my sin from me because His eternal death on the cross. So I'm free. I choose to forgive other people the same way He's forgiven me. I even choose to forgive myself for stupid stuff I've done that maybe haunts me. So we have to forgive ourselves. Now, look at your failures in a positive way, covered under the blood, and see them also as life lessons for other people. When you disciple another person, be willing to be transparent. And you know, I was talking to some people last night. It's one of the things I've noticed about Brother Ben. He is somewhat transparent. He will share with you where he has thought wrong, spoken wrongly, and so I'm impressed by that. It's very wise to do that. Now, when we think of forgiving ourselves, beware of self-punishment. I've used this illustration many times in here, but I'm just going to read this. Beware of self-punishment. Beware of somehow I'm going to make things hard on me and be thinking, are you pleased with me yet? No, he's pleased with him and what he did for you. Martin Luther, before being leader of the Reformation, would strive to make himself acceptable to God by praying on his knees naked in the snow. So if you want to do that later today, it's a perfect environment for that, except it's not snowing, of course. Putting thorns in his bed linens and rocks under his mattress, he thought these things were making him more pleasing to God, and God was accepting him for his strenuous living. Don't get in the trap of trying to prove to God, yourself, and other people around you that you're going to be serious 2026. Don't do it. Just begin to walk in what you already have in Christ. Ephesians 2:8 says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You've been declared righteous. Remember, it is Christ's work and not yours that make you eternally acceptable to God. So move on with life, all right? Past successes must not distract from the present. We must remember, we are in the race of life that God has given to us. We should continually be moving forward as God writes the story of our life, fulfilling His purpose for allowing us to be born and live here on this earth. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4, 14. For what is your life? Question mark. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while. Talking about time and eternity. Just a little while. And then it vanishes away. I know Randy did say that these surgeries will be outpatient surgeries. But I will check, is there anything we can do for him? But outpatient surgery makes it a little easier than a long hospital stay. But I know you've gone through some physical stuff. Compared to eternity, it's brief. And we need to make the most of what we got now. I mean, because we may get to a point where physically we can't even get in our car and go somewhere. I've seen this over and over again. What is your life? James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears just for a little while and then vanishes away. I don't know where I read this. I think it was in a commentary, maybe William MacDonald. On this verse, he said, it's like out on a farm, you look out in the mornings and you see a morning mist out in the pasture. But then as the sun rises, it just burns away that mist, that morning mist. Our life is like that, and we see this. So, have you ever, those of you who are from a small town, have you ever seen or known someone, just say they were captain of a football team, and she may have been a cheerleader. But then we all graduate, and we move and do stuff for many years. Have you ever seen someone move back their small town? Maybe they never left their small town, or maybe they came back, but they still saw themselves as the cheerleader and the captain of the football team, though they're now 40, 50, and then they're 60. I know this doesn't sound good. My dad used to say, son, never say stupid. But whoever that military general was that said, don't be stuck on stupid. I forgot who that guy was that said, don't be stuck on stupid. That's really dumb to do that. I understand it. But we got to be careful not to live in the past. We need to celebrate the past. Praise the Lord. I tell my wife all the time, honey, we got to celebrate. Celebrate the past, but don't be stuck in the past. Oswald Chambers says, never lay down with yesterday's successes. Praise the Lord. Celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Now let's move straight forward because our life is but a vapor. I think it's in 2026, it's wise to think this way. So I think about parents, and my wife and I talked about this before we adopted McLaren, because I had some other couples tell me this. Be careful that you don't try to fulfill some things you always thought you would through your children. That's a form of bondage for them. And this is the thing we heard over and over again from couples. You won't know you're doing it. You won't realize, I'm living through my son. I'm living through my daughter. Kelly and I talked about this because we knew that could be a temptation. And so, I remember, I wish Dennis was here. Dennis, if you're listening to this on the internet later on, this illustration reminded me of you. I remember a man still wearing a shirt from the 1960s. Someone told him he looked good in it in 1962. Sometimes people say, boy, that shirt sure looks nice, Chris. I say, really? I'm going to wear it every day. Sometimes we're stuck in the past and we don't realize we are. That doesn't mean, praise the Lord, what you've learned that's good, keep walking in that. What you've done that's been good, celebrate that and thank God for it. But my goodness, we need to keep moving forward in the future, and not stay stuck in the past. And so, number two, you said, Chris, that's been 15, I know it. Number two, the first one, number one, is a new start requires forgetting what lies behind. Number two, a new start requires reaching forward to what lies ahead, and I've already kind of hit on that. What did he say in verses 13 and 14? He said, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. 2026. Know this, there will be circumstances. At 2026, you say, okay, praise God for the past. This is what I've learned. I'm going to apply these things to the future, but I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to move forward. there's going to be circumstances, some positive, some negative. That's life. Have y'all noticed? It's just the way it is. Positive circumstances, life just seems to flow pleasantly and unhindered. You ever had a season that was like that? Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You're shaking your head like, I've never known that. Well, you know, a lot of times it doesn't last that long. But enjoy it while you have it, but don't let it spoil you. Like sometimes kids can get spoiled. We talked about this last night with Barry. This is the big thing that kids are saying nowadays. We're not ready to adult. You know how every generation has their own little things they say. Adulting makes us nervous. But guess what? You're really already an adult. You have to get after it, you know. And so there are positive circumstances, but there are also negative circumstances. We must always remember God stays eternally in control. When things are going well, and you could just be praising the Lord and telling everybody, but what about when things go bad? Do you stop praising the Lord? Do you start being a negative person when you're going through a time like this? No. God stays eternally in control in positive circumstances and when things are not so positive. F.B. Meyer said this, "The tomorrows of your life have to pass God before they can get to you." And someone else said, "Nothing can get to God's sheep unless it comes through the shepherd." So you say, well, why would God allow this? Well, don't say it that way. Say it this way. I wonder what God is up to. It's got to be positive. But it may be negative until I see the positive. What is God? God, what are you up to? Because I hear that you know everything already. I hear that you've fully forgiven me. Think about the life of Joseph and all that he went through for many years. When things finally were better for him, he made it through the hard times. You just know how we are as humans. When he had the beautiful coat of many colors and what he said would come true, there is no way anybody on earth will ever convince me that Joseph was not proud as a young man. He was proud. His father showed favoritism. He had a beautiful, expensive coat. The reason his brothers wrongly hated him is because we would have probably hated him too. You think about it. And then God let him go through, I think, 13 or 15 years of a tough time. He had positive circumstances, favored by his dad, had a beautiful coat that his brothers didn't have. Everything just went good. Whatever he said came true. And then he went through a tough time. He was put in prison. Well, he was thrown into a pit. He was picked up by a caravan, ended up in prison for 13 years, I think. And finally, he became one of the rulers of all of Egypt. And then he went through a hard time, then became the ruler of Egypt. And then in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21, after the pride, after the tough times, being in prison, being lied about by Potiphar's wife, all this stuff, he learned so much. God is using him in a great way, saving lives because of famine. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21, Joseph said to them, talking to his brothers, who now they were before him thinking, he may take our life. They were afraid of him, but at the same time, they thought, we don't have an option. So they go to him, the ones who threw him in the pit, the ones who hated him. This is what Joseph said to them. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. So if you go through positive circumstances, enjoy them. It's okay. Learn. But if you go through negative, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. For some reason, I don't understand it, but I'm seeing now what God is doing. But as for you, you threw me in a pit, you hated me, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. See things this way, 2026. God meant it for good. In order that, for the reason, to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Why? Because of what he went through And then now he's seeing this is the reason. We need to think this way in 2026. So, a new start requires reaching forward to what lies ahead. There will be circumstances, positive and negative. We learn from that. There needs to be accountability. What did Paul say? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A loss of purpose is devastating to a child of God. Be careful. I talk to guys, I'm at that age now, I'll be 64 in February. Cannot wait to get to be 64. So I'm more seeing guys and talking with guys about, you know, they're thinking about retirement stuff. When should I retire and all that? When you get to this age, it's wise to think it through before the Lord. But if you retire, you got it all figured out and you retire, but you haven't planned what you're going to do when you don't have to punch a clock, you need to be careful. Believe it or not, that can cause depression. You may never miss a meal. You can fill your car up with gas. You can do what you want to do, but you could go into depression. A loss of purpose is devastating to a child of God. Someone has said this. I think it may have been Zig Ziglar, but I can't remember. If you aim at nothing, guess what? You're sure to hit it. I mean, it's just the way it is. I remember years ago when I lived for 1 year in the Texas Panhandle, and I roughnecked on a drilling rig. I mean, we got pictures of me. McLaren said, "That is Dad." I had muscles and everything, and I didn't work out. I worked. I mean, I was muscled up because I actually was getting paid for doing hard work. But I never will forget, there was a Mexican guy who was like a foreman on one of the shifts. I worked for Kencope Energies. But I never will forget him. He was mad at his crew because he thought they were lazy. And I never will forget him. He just got so frustrated one day, and he said, "Every time, every day, there is too much lazy." He said that one thing, I never got that out of my head. Every time, every day, there's too much lazy. And we are accountable to God and our brothers and sisters in Christ not to slow down this race by complacency. We need each other. Everyone needs to be walking in the Spirit and exercising his or her spiritual gift. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul said this. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So, third and last thing, and then we'll do Q&A. A new start requires pressing on towards the goal. 2026, press on towards the goal. Verse 12 again from Philippians 4. Listen to what Paul says. He said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." That was Philippians 3, I'm sorry. All right? A new start requires pressing on towards the goal. This is a relief. You say, "Oh, I don't even want to hear that. I can't do that." Correct, you can't. But this is a relief. Galatians 4:19. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm telling you, apart from your wife, apart from your sons, your daughters, your mother and father, if they're still alive, apart from every human being on earth, this one thing should be in mind in your head, that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. If we do that, it will be better for ourselves, and it'll be better for the other humans that are in our life if we'll do that. But if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on humans, even brothers and sisters in Christ, even spouses and children and grandparents and all that, that the way we try to be with them, we should first be trying to be that way with the Lord. And if we'll be that way with the Lord, they will be blessed because of it. If we get it backwards, we will spend more time in our relationships with humans instead of intimacy with God. These things, we don't see these things until we get a little more seasoned and living life, how important it is. Our goal is allowing the Holy Spirit in us and His Word to conform us to the image of Christ. Paul, in a sense, is saying here, satisfaction is the grave of progress. You could see that as negative, and it is, but we should also, it's okay to be positive, to be satisfied. I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. That's eternal satisfaction. And also, who was the man who built the first crane? He became very wealthy. He was a Christian. He ended up saying, I'm going to live on 10% and give the rest to the Lord. I forgot his name. There's a biography about him. He had so much. Who's that? He was a cat that kind of piddled around. But anyway, he was so satisfied with what he had. He said, I'm okay with living on 10% and give the 90% to the Lord because he gave me the 100%. He got so satisfied, he didn't let all that he had and was capable of, he didn't let that totally satisfy him in a negative way. And so, in other words, Paul was not content to stay the same as if somehow he had arrived to perfection while still living on earth. Positionally, we're in Christ. Christ is in us. Conditionally, we're still being conformed to His image, and He wanted that to continue to happen until He died, to become more like Christ. So, for Paul and us, the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ, is still going on. And Paul was deeply exercised that this work of God's grace might continue and deepen in him. We say, well, how does it happen? As we look at 2026, how does this happen? In the power of His resurrection, he says in verse 10 of Philippians 3. This happens in the power of His resurrection. Well, what is the power of His resurrection? Verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What does He mean, that I may know Him? It means to gain practical, day-by-day acquaintance with Him in such an intimate way that we become Christ-like. In other words, what I'm saying for 2026, let's become more like Christ. End of story. Boom. I can't do it. Correct, as Major N. Thomas famously said, God never said you could. He always said He would, but you have to abide in Him and let Him do this through you. Your desire should be for the life of Christ to be produced in you. What does He mean, the power of His resurrection? This same power that raised Jesus from the dead and He came out of that tomb, that same power has been placed in the believer. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead right here and right now lives inside of you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. What does He mean in the fellowship of His sufferings? In verse 10, He says, and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Never, ever get caught in the subtle trap of trying hard to suffer for Christ in your own strength. Really, that is pride. It's a kind of posturing before other Christians trying to appear real for Christ. You don't have to continually validate who you are in Christ. Just be who you already are in Christ. And notice, the power of His resurrection is put before the fellowship of His suffering. Guys, I mean, we see what's going on in this world, and Jesus said that you will suffer persecution. Just remember, suffering persecution does not make you more acceptable to Christ. You're already acceptable to Christ. You're already in Him. But because of this sinful world system and what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, we could start suffering some persecution. Islam is spreading like crazy right now. We don't know what's going to happen. More and more, everywhere you go, you're seeing people who worship Allah all around you. Some of them are very nice people, very sharp, very hard workers, but they worship Allah. We don't know what's going to happen there. Eventually, they may become mayor of New York City. Memphis, Tennessee, or some other places. And the next thing you know, you just begin to feel this, you can't say that. Y'all got to shut the church down. You've got to think about other religions. Y'all have got to give in to other religions. It's not just about you. Next thing you know, all this is probably going to happen to us. It's already creeping in on us. We keep moving forward, even if we're persecuted, because of the fellowship of his suffering. Notice, he said fellowship. Normally, we think of fellowship as eating commissary barbecue, which is good. That's some good fellowship, which we're going to do next Sunday. Don't miss it. James, we got next Sunday fellowship is in your text. The fellowship, we think of that as, well, we get together and have a good time. And praise the Lord, I love that. How do you put fellowship and suffering together? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he said, he's meek and lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest for your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, if you take my yoke upon you. Where you think of a yoke, as I said last week, you got an oxen on this side and an oxen on this side, and then they got a heavy weight, and they're together, they're carrying that heavy weight. He said, take my yoke upon you. So it's my burden. We enter into the fellowship of his suffering as we fulfill the Great Commission to reach the whole world for Christ, making disciples of the whole world for Christ. But we remember the power of his resurrection that is the Holy Spirit in us, even though we're in yoke with him, and yes, there's some suffering, but it's not paying back for our sin. We're in the fellowship of his suffering in the world system that we live in, but the Holy Spirit in us is lifting the weight of it if we abide in him. It takes divine strength to suffer for Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does he strengthen me? From the power of his resurrection. What in the world is that? The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. That is the power of the resurrection, and that Spirit is in us. So, as we think of 2026, let's think of praise the Lord for the past, but I want to keep moving forward to the things ahead. And I'm going to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit within me, because he never said that I could do this. He always said he would. And the only thing I really have to think about, this one thing, is allow the Holy Spirit in me and his word to conform me to the image of Christ. And I like that. This one thing I do. So what are y'all, what are some thoughts on this?
Look at coming to a new year, personal reflection. We did a lot of stuff in 2025. Did I learn from it? How is it going to help me moving forward? I don't want to forget about 2025. I just want to learn from it, move forward. So the personal reflection is not forget it. It's can I take something from it?
Right.
Because we all grow at that.
Don't lay down with it, yeah.
Yeah. And I look at it, you know, maybe you tell your wife once, yes, that dress you're wearing does make you look bad. Okay? So you do that once.
I'm done.
You learn.
I'm toast.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can say, well, I forget about it, and you redo it the next day. Well, you haven't learned anything.
Exactly.
So I think we have to learn something from our experiences, and it prepares us for what God has in store for us. Like, I encounter stuff now I would never have been prepared for 20 years ago, and I wouldn't have been able to deal with it. But I can now because of all of the things that have led up to it.
Joseph.
If I forget about everything that's happened over the last now 58 years, then I'm just a baby child in that.
I think he's more not saying mentally forget it like it's not there anymore, which that may happen too, brother. But I think he's mainly what Chambers said, don't lay down with yesterday's. But we learn from his story, history, but don't lay down with it. So what did the children of Israel, why did they keep going around in circles instead of just going to Canaan? They were in captivity doing work, and they even made putting the bricks together to build. They even made them go out and get the things needed to bake the bricks. And they're saying they want to go back. They said they had it better. They were laying down with yesterday instead of moving forward with what they couldn't see clearly. And they murmured. So what do y'all think about 2026? It's upon us. Sitting on G waiting on O?
Well, just listening to Lee, he just got my gears rolling. I was thinking about learning from the past year, carrying that into the new year. What we're really talking about here is progress, right? What can I do better this year to continually grow, which is what you were teaching about today, reaching forward, right? And so I just started thinking about that, thinking about when I was in Bible college, there was we were involved in ministries. It was part of being a Bible college. We had to be involved in at least two ministries. And I was part of a bus route. We brought in over 1,100 kids to church every Sunday at that church.
Wow, that's a lot.
I was on the bus route that went the furthest out. But my bus captain, Mike Hoopman, was a guy who talked about being the voice of reason when things are going haywire or just remaining calm, cool, collective. Never saw somebody handle aggression, handle stress, handle just anything you throw at him and just handle it with such, you know, grace. And so I asked him one day what his secret was, and I'd never expected to hear his response. He said he used to be known as the guy who had a terrible temper.
Wow.
And he said that his strategy for overcoming that was that he set out to make his most distinguishing downfall, his most distinguishing positive characteristic.
He flipped it.
Exactly. And so, in other words, it's like charging the hill. If you've ever done any jogging or running, charging the hill. Like, I'm just going to tackle this thing head on, and I'm going to fight to make my worst problem my best characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that I was remembering when Lee was talking.
Yeah. In other words,
He did.
He changed his mind. He purposely changed his mind. He flipped it. And he became strong in these other things to the degree that he was strong in his bad temper or whatever. He flipped it, and that strength now is positive. So praise the Lord.
But did he make that decision, or did he work with God and figure it out so that God had the glory for that and was able to utilize that through him? So he had to experience all of that so that he would be prepared for what God had in store.
Yeah, I gave you the short form version of the story, but when he told it, of course he went into that, you know, how the God did the work in the heart. I think someone came to him about his temper, and then shortly after that he heard a sermon about it. Like, everything lined up. God was saying, "Hey, you need to deal with this."
Yeah.
And you know, so.
And that's a positive thing, and it's not God saying you need to deal with that. We do that to one another as humans. Why would he do that to us when he knows everything? Before we were born, he knew, I'm going to have to, in love, mercy, remind him he's got to make changes here. Why would he say, you got to make changes, turn or burn? Why would he do all that when he knew all about us before he created us? He's paid for it completely one time. Yeah. He's so patient with us, it's humbling. All right, so getting back to the first point I made, because I always want to be real clear on this one. When I say don't tell anybody, what 2026, the Holy Spirit's leading you to make some changes. Just like that guy that had y'all had the bus ministry, just like him. He 2026, he's been, for 6 months, he's been reminding me I need to make changes. I'm going to do it 2026. And I say, don't tell anyone. But then one of my points was we need to have accountability. All right, how do you see those two things that I taught? If you tell people what you're going to do in 2026, the next thing you know, you're trying to prove it to them that you're going to do it. And next thing you know, you're talking to God about it less, and you're talking to them about it more. All right, but the Bible does teach that we're to be accountable to one another's brothers and sisters. How do those two things work? That's complicated.
I want everybody in this class to hold me accountable to things that I say and do. I've got a whole network of people that if I want to do something stupid, I'll throw it out and they'll tell me that's stupid. Don't do it. They hold me accountable, and I'm glad they do. I want the relationship to work together, that God is putting a burden on me, holding me accountable, but I want my brothers to do so as well. I think it's a good partnership. And it's not that I'm giving my Christian human brothers more glory than God, but God doesn't tell me don't buy that $600 golf club. He says, do what you want, and you'll see the consequences if you do that.
Clubs or club?
Brothers, yeah, one club. But my brothers will say, you know, that's stupid. Don't do that. And I said, okay, yeah, you're probably right.
You stink anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I need, and I have people in my life that will do that.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that. I mean, I mentioned one of my classes. I said, I was thinking about buying an airplane at one point in time. And somebody said, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said. You know, but I need people to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And so I will express ideas. And guys, especially, we like to bounce things off people. And if somebody says, what you just said is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, I'll rethink it. And I'll learn from that. Mm-hmm. God allows us to go ahead and do it, and then we recognize the consequences after that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that telling everybody, or him telling us not to tell everybody, you telling us not to tell everybody what we're going to do, is kind of like making a vow?
To them more than God? Or
you're just making a vow that I'm going to do this. Now it's public.
Yeah.
You're on. God says, don't make a vow.
Oh,
go and do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You don't need to make a vow.
Yeah. A vow before man or a vow with God?
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm wanting, we're to be accountable to brothers and sisters in Christ 100%. But what I'm seeing over many years, if we're not careful, it becomes about our humans, and we don't realize it, but it's not so much me and God. I'm now trying to prove to them, instead of being led along by the Holy Spirit as I make these changes and all that. It just needs to be first and foremost that God lovingly is leading me to do this, and I'm going to do it. But at the same time, we are to be accountable to one another, and I agree with you 100%. All right, I've told you this illustration before with someone I know, and I don't think y'all know this person, but many years ago, this person who's in his 70s now was part of the Navigators, and they had a time of you'd be accountable to one another. The Navigators really pressed that, and this one guy had a kind of a stronghold in his life, and he shared it and just asked this guy to pray for him. And I think it was probably porn, probably before there was an internet. So he probably was looking at magazines or something he shouldn't. Anyway, it was a stronghold in his life. And this guy did not leave it confidential. He asked in a group setting of other Navigators on another week, another night, to pray for him because he's having a struggle with this. And it got out to everybody. This guy left the Navigators, and to this day, and he's in his 70s, I think he never has forgiven himself. That's in my lesson here. Number two, he's never forgiven the guy who did this, and then all the others that were whispering, and it just spread. It embarrassed him. This guy never married. And he said this, and I heard him say this back in 1988 or 89. That's how long ago. He said, I felt like he was a voyeur in my life. So what I'm saying is, we are accountable to one another. But at the same time, and I also a lot of the older men that wrote many years ago, I've noticed as they were in their latter years, they more and more started focusing on, first and foremost, it's my intimacy with God. You're not rejecting any human being. Actually, you're going to be a bigger blessing to them But if we're not careful, our human relationship can trump our intimacy with God. And we got to be aware of this. God has to be first, and it's just the way it is. But it does not mean to the exclusion of other people. No, it's actually the blessing of other people. Does that make sense? How do you be accountable? How do you, in 2026, as you move forward, setting your own personal goals and whatever, some things you may have to talk to other human beings about because it may affect them on a daily basis. At that point, I think you do need to have a discussion because it's going to affect them. But there are many things we can do as an individual that we don't have to tell everybody. But they'll get to a point where they'll say, I don't know what it is, but something's different. Something's different about this person. So anyway, 2026, it's a good time to make changes that you need to make between you and God, and it's up to you who all you tell. Just be careful with that. You're not proving to anybody anything. And another thing, 2026, if you say, I need to make these changes, the Holy Spirit's leading me to do these 5 things or 10 things, whatever, you're not going to spend 2026 proving to God that I'm serious and proving to God I'm going to make these changes. He already knows if you're going to fail or not. If you're going to fail, He already knows it. So you can't prove anything to an all-knowing God. Has it ever occurred to you? Nothing's ever occurred to God. So what I'm saying basically is, as we move into 2026, whatever God's telling you to do, begin to do it. It's between you and God, and we'll all be blessed as a result. Amen?